are listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys watch their way through Sex and the City for the first time ever, mostly. I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
And I am obviously Nick Lachey. That's my new sign-in, guys. I'm sorry. I have to.
We need a sign-off. What if we do? Over 100 episodes
and
we have no sign-off. But that's, yeah, you're John Sieber, but that's your sign-in. You got to sign in.
That's my sign-in.
Should you do obviously John Sieber for now on?
I'm obviously John Sieber. Yeah.
You are obviously John Sieber.
I think that's great. Our sign off.
He's obviously Nick Lachey.
Let's riff a few, because I just put on the Instagram that if anyone suggests, we'll use their sign off. But should we each propose I feel like this is pretty classic Bradshaw Boys too, that it's like, oh shit, the series is about to end. We should get our shit together.
We should come up with a sign off.
Completely. If you've never listened to our podcast before, this is like episode 104 or something like that. And we're trying to figure out what our sign off should be now. But trust me, it's a great podcast.
How about,
what are we thinking? Anyone have any ideas?
I've got one. Because it's like, you gotta go classic. You can't get too creative. It can't be about us. It has to be about the show. It has to be about what we're here for. So how about this?
Right.
Hey, everybody, you know, like, we're just talking, like, let's have a normal conversation, then I'll get into it. So it sounds natural.
Okay. So
it was a good episode.
It was a good episode. It was great.
Kevin, what you said about the fireman was really funny.
That was hilarious. Yeah. About that. About
you're a really witty guy.
Well, about like what it is to live in a firehouse with a bunch of other dudes. It's really funny. Just like how they interact.
I mean, the analogy between Samantha and the pole was wild. It was wild.
We saw it coming.
I never saw it coming.
But then she definitely saw it coming.
She always does.
And she always does. Anyways, hey, we'll listen. We had fun watching this episode, and I couldn't help but wonder if you'd join us for our next one. See you next time.
Whoa.
That's a good one.
That's pretty good.
I mean, it's pretty tried and true Sex and the City material. I'm not remaking the wheel.
Yeah. I like it. Abso-fucking-later.
It's abso-fucking-later, right?
And we're the Bradshaw Boys.
Abso-fucking-later.
Wow.
We'll see abso-fucking-later. Just abso-fucking-later. Yeah, abso-fucking-later. That's it, right? Corey, do you have one?
I feel like that is it. Mine was in I couldn't help but wonder. But I was trying to make it rhyme. So I was going to be like, couldn't help but wonder. Will we see you down under? That's when we go to Australia on tour.
I have another one that's like definitely more on brand for us, but off brand for any listener besides one who thinks it's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just has to do with the fact that Charlotte ends up with Harry. And what if we just end each one just saying, justice for Shmuel?
I like it.
Jeremy, you can cut that out.
I'm actually cut very into that.
Is it because she ends up with a Jewish man?
Just because she doesn't end up with Shmuel.
Oh, and we want justice for Shmuel.
We want Shmuel back. Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work comedically. It doesn't work for the podcast. It's not good.
I feel like couldn't help but wonder is like the obvious path, and I'm very happy to walk down the obvious path.
I would be
very curious to see what some of our listeners suggest.
Abso-fucking-later is good. Also, something we could dunk in it. Something. Obviously we have to leave because we have to
have sex.
Have sex tonight. We've covered that one before, though, where we're like, I remember we were like, is that too sexual? And we were like, it's completely sexual.
Oh, is that what we said last time?
I think that's what we said. We were like,
and
is that too sexual?
Again, completely.
It's actually sexual.
I love the idea of someone just listening to the first 10 minutes of our podcast just to see us out. And like, they're like, they're still talking about their sign off. They literally had this conversation 4 weeks ago and they're still figuring that one out, huh?
They're still figuring it out.
If
and
that
they
person's
started
mad,
the podcast with it.
If that person's mad, guess what? There was just a person that tweeted at us that said we ruined their life with how good our podcast is.
Yeah,
so
that's
true. So if your life, so guess what? We're doing a victory lap. We're out here ruining people's lives with our entertainment.
With how great our entertainment is.
What, you know, it'd be funny if we laughed and we're like, oh, that was so nice of her. But really, we like run into her on like a street in Portland at some point.
My husband divorced me. I had to give up my kids. I lost my job. I'm hooked on crack now.
Why?
Her name is Cinnamon Tangle.
It was too good.
It was too good. I tasted it.
The second I heard you guys not know how to end a podcast, I knew I was in for a roller coaster of a lifetime.
Oh, man.
There's nothing like listening to you guys not know what certain characters' names are. Be unfamiliar with different fashion.
I've never heard anyone just miss so many times, so
my
many storylines about fashion.
Kevin tries to summarize the episode and has no idea what the fuck actually happened.
The first time I heard you guys spend 2 minutes trying to look on your phones to hear what episode you were going to watch tonight so you knew the name of it. I knew my life was over.
Oh my gosh.
But if you do want to tweet at us. Oh, remember when we were riffing about, about Howard Schultz jizzing in people's coffees.
Oh my gosh.
No joke. Someone who follows our Instagram, Tani, she got on, I went to check our reviews on iTunes. And someone just said, cause I think we called it a Schultz-a-chino, which is when Howard Schultz is so mindful of his customers, he will jizz in your coffee.
Oh my God.
And she said, we said, there's some schmaltz in my, she said, I finally, there's some schmaltz in my Schultz-a-chino. This podcast is such a fun way to relive the series through a new lens. Plus the boys are sweet and their love of NYC is palpable, surprising, funny, and weird. And I was like, it was one of those things, like, we're just on here talking on the microphone. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, oh, there's a recording forever of us talking about Howard Schultz jizzing in someone's coffee. What if I'm friends with Howard Schultz?
Your grandkids might hear that one day and just how's that going to play out?
Oh, I mean, I have thought about how many things are on record just there forever. And even if we took the podcast down now, there's a chance that there's a record of it that you'll never get rid of it. It's like, always out there.
How is someone going to be president in 30 years?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
There's no way.
Here's
the thing.
They're
going to have access to their like Vine and TikTok and like just fans or OnlyFans or whatever. Like, how is someone? We were just talking about how that professor just got fired for having for sharing his screen and having Pornhub tabs up. Like,
we had a Pornhub hyper like a bookmark link up.
How is anyone going to be president? There's so much dirt on everyone.
I think I feel like someone who has their entire public life, embarrassing public life out there, is doing just fine being president. I think he cracked.
That's actually true.
Not as president, but I feel like you put your head down. And you're like, yeah, whatever. When I run for president, I'm just going to be like run against Howard Schultz. And I'll just be like, yeah, I don't know. Why were you jizzing in people's coffees? And he's like, that didn't actually happen. I'm like, oh, okay. And then it's
here's a clip from 30 years ago where people are talking about it.
And I'm like, hey, listen, man, I want to stick to the issues. If you want to keep on talking about how you're coming in other people's coffee.
All right. That's though, when you think about it, that's what's going to be on Howard Schultz's OnlyFans. That's what they're going to pull up. That's going to really bring him down.
Yeah.
That's what people pay for.
That's what we pay for.
All right. Well, let's get down to business. We have some Sex and the City to talk about. Enough about Howard Schultz. Enough about Starbucks.
Let's talk about the fucking gals.
We're talking
about the ladies.
Carrie, Miranda, Samantha, Charlotte, Burger.
Oh, Burger, man.
There's a little post-it hanging above us. Like, what's that sword? The sword of Galliquis or something.
What is that from?
I don't know. It's just like a sword that hung above someone's head. And it was like, it was ominous. The whole point, I don't know. Kanye used it in a music video, but it's like a thing from 1,000 years ago. But it's just a sword that hangs over and it's showing that like if they move, like it'll fall and then like it'll their reign will be over. But that's how Berger's post-it note is over us. We know the post note happens. We don't know the context.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen. All I know is there's this post-it note that I've seen and people are like, when that happens, you get fucking ready. And I feel like that is clouding all of my Berger energy right now.
You're going to hate Berger so much. You're not even going to want to eat a Berger. You're going to fucking burn down Shake Shack. You're going to rage against McDonald's. I don't know.
People are so, people have so many, we tweeted a thing that we were like, what are your burger thoughts? People unleashed insane levels of just hatred where they were just like, I've never been more disappointed. Someone was like, the character that I'm the most attracted to and the most disappointed in.
Dude, like, let's come up with some sort of like, before we even see it, let's come up with some sort of fan conspiracy theory that tries to win people over to Berger. But the whole point of it is just to troll. Like let's like really, does that make any sense? Am I making any sense?
Like Berger
is actually like, a good guy and try to win over as many people to Team Berger as possible. Like let's make that our goal in doing this. Is that just too hard of a hill to climb? Should we stick with the fact that Trey isn't real?
Trey, I mean, I feel like you're going along with Trey isn't real line. I feel like people would love that because people would be like, that's interesting because we didn't love Trey. And I feel like it's just a real uphill battle to get people to. Well,
I mean, have you guys ever read The Case for Jafar?
No.
It's someone wrote that. Maybe it's not as impressive as I'm painting it out to be, but someone essentially wrote a paper why Jafar in Aladdin is the good guy. And it's like really well thought out. And it's like, listen, there is a society. Agrabah is mostly poor people that have to steal food. And you have a sultan who is just playing with toys and unable to focus. And Jafar is just trying to help the Agrabah as a whole by getting a sultan in that will rule and bring prosperity to the land. And they paint this whole entire argument as to why Jafar is a good guy. I just kind of want to do that with Berger just because there's so much hatred about him.
What's Jafar trying to do? I don't remember.
It's been so long since I've seen Aladdin. Yeah.
Well, he's trying to like take control of the Sultan. He's trying to like hypnotize the Sultan and get the Sultan to do like what he wants.
Yeah.
And the Sultan like keeps on like bringing in, I don't remember it too well, but he's like bringing in basically like Jasmine is denying all these suitors and she has like a live tiger in the house that's biting her suitors. And it's like, yeah, this was a time when marriages were arranged based off of strategic partnerships. And she like the Sultan is allowing this princess to have a tiger that is biting these princes in the castle. And Jafar is just trying to get rid of that. Like, you know, it's, I feel like I lost you guys.
No. I was
so fucking later.
So,
That's a sign off, like not only for our podcast, but just like out of conversations as well.
Yeah.
I
sign off for people's Zooms right now. You say that when you leave a Zoom. Kevin and I were talking about last night how hard it is to, you can't Irish exit out of a Zoom. You can't just like people having Zoom parties. You can't just sneak out of a Zoom party.
And it's really hard to come up with an excuse too. You're like, well, I got to,
yeah. Cause people are like, where are you going? What are you doing?
I'm just going to go watch the second season of Ozark for the third time, but I gotta go.
Yeah.
I think this is your best route. What? Hang up and then text everyone. My internet was messed up.
Yeah.
Even though my internet's been perfect for
two months. The last time we had a Zoom party, you said your internet was shitty.
That's what I did. That's exactly what I did. 100%.
But all right, we're watching tonight.
Wanted to say I missed the whole Jafar thing because I used to masturbate to Jasmine, the cartoon character, a lot. So I missed a lot of the. Yeah,
you were like a Roger Rabbit early adopter.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, Roger Rabbit came before Aladdin, though, right? Jessica Rabbit.
Did it?
I don't know.
89.
Oh wow!
Listen, the Sword of Damocles.
How did you know that so fast?
That was so quick.
I just heard about it. I just listened to an interview with Jeffrey Katzenberg, who produced it.
I listened to that interview too, and I didn't pick up 89, but I listened to that as well. Yeah, totally.
You should have made something else up and just had me scratching my head for like 3 weeks straight. Like, how the fuck does Kevin know everything about Roger Rabbit?
I was a writer on it. So anyways, when I was four, all right, listen, the Sword of Damocles, it's an allusion to the imminent and ever-present peril faced by those in positions of power. How much is that true with Burger? We hear all of this ominous shit of people are like, just you fucking wait. And it's like, I mean, so far, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, we'll see.
Just a little witty banter. It's not a big deal.
We'll see what happens. I mean,
what's this episode called?
This episode is The Perfect Present. Season 6, Episode 3, The Perfect Present.
What do you guys think real quick about the titles in Season 6? I feel maybe it's because it's been a while since we've watched episodes, but we've had To Market. That kind of makes sense. Great Expectations. This one's called The Perfect Present. I'm looking ahead at a couple other ones.
What are they?
And I feel like it. Okay. Pick a Little, Take a Little. I don't know about that one.
That's from Music Man, right, Kevin?
Is it?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. There's another one that I really like called Lights, Camera, Relationship.
Yeesh.
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 And there's another one called Hop, Skip It a Week.
Yeah. Pick a Little, Talk a Little's from, it's a song from Music Man.
Okay.
Do you think they
didn't know that?
Do you think they go to music, or do you think there's someone on, like, maybe she goes with the Russian to a Broadway show of the Music Man?
Oh yeah, we
got to
meet the Russian too,
dude. I think Howard Hill, is that his name, comes to New York and starts selling fake shoes to all the kids to do like a fake runway show. And Carrie just bites hook, line, and sinker.
Oh my god.
Let's watch this. The Perfect Present. Real quick, what is your perfect present? What is the best present you ever got?
Oh man, that is a hard one.
Just right off the top of your head, what is your perfect present? What is like the present you remember the most?
Nintendo 64.
Yours is Nintendo. It's so funny. Mine is Super Nintendo because I'm older than you. Super Nintendo.
Wow. I mean, that was mine, like, life changing.
Mine, because I'm older than both of you, was a Nintendo, original Nintendo.
Nintendo Entertainment System.
It was a Nintendo Entertainment System, The Legend of Zelda, second one. It was the Adventure of Link cartridge. And it was I got it for Christmas when I was a little kid. And my dad went to Toys R Us and they were sold out of all the games. And that one's like a dark horse version of Zelda. No one ever really played that one.
Yeah, you fight yourself in the end.
Yeah,
talk
it's
about the Sword of Damocles.
Yeah, there you go. And it's like the most existential one. And I remember that my dad went to Toys R Us and went to the front and they were like, we're sold out of everything. And then he looked and he found one and he was like, what about that one? And the guy was like, oh, that, we didn't realize we had that. And he got the last one and he got that. And then I remember my friend, it was the year Christmas was on a Sunday. And so we woke up, had Christmas, and then went to church. And I remember we were all like kind of bummed because we had to go to Sunday school on Christmas morning. And my friend had gotten the new version of the game Defender, which is like Defender's like an arcade game where you like, it's like a spaceship fighting game. And he was like, you got the new Zelda? And he was like, my dad just got me the new Defender. Jeez. And I was like, this is the best. It was great. Dude, you got me the best Zelda
the
ever.
New Defender, not the perfect present.
Not the perfect present.
Do you think there's any chance that there'll be... Burger seems like a bit of a gamer. Don't you feel like he's a person that like he should... Like he invites her over and she like... He plays a bunch of time... Spends a bunch of time playing video games and she's like, ugh. Kind of weirded out by it.
Burger feels like he'd be in like a pinball league.
Yeah.
You know? Like in a Williamsburg, Brooklyn pinball league where he like wears his leather jacket and plays pinball with a bunch of dudes every week.
He'd know how to get to the kill screen on Donkey Kong.
Yeah, he's like one of those guys.
He's Tim Weibel.
Left, right, left, right, left, right, up, A, B, C, down, opens the whole thing up. Hey, try this IPA. Up. Do you like this? Do you like IPA?
All right, we'll be back. Abso-fucking later.
My, I love it.
Episode 77, The Perfect Present. After Berger flips out and flips off his ex-girlfriend's answering machine message, Carrie tries not to think about her influence on his life. Miranda finds condoms in Brady's diaper bag and gets upset with Steve. Newly converted Charlotte mourns the loss of Christmas. And an on-the-job quickie with Samantha gets Smith Jared fired from a catering job. And now, back to the boys.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
And we're back.
And that was very sexual, Corey. I like that.
And we're back on the pod.
That was as if you were maybe doing some phone sex with Mr. Big right there.
Popping out of a friggin' hot tub.
Oh,
heck
dude.
Yeah.
I just like, I want to super cut that into like Free Willy when he just like bursts out of the hot tub. It's like he just like lives under the water waiting for a phone call and then erupts out and has a lit cigar and a glass of wine.
I know there's lots of times where it's like, I think that could go viral, but just cutting that into the most serious moments.
Yeah,
because it's fun. It started at Free Willy, and then you could just imagine that going viral with like,
oh,
just like right
into Titanic,
with
Rose and Jack floating on the door, and then Big just popping out of the water.
Oh, fuck off, dude!
We're gonna need a bigger boat.
Amazing.
Write them down. We're doing all of them.
Serious movie with water needs an ejaculation of
Cut
Big
into water world.
Flying out of the water. Oh, it's so good.
Also, that it's so funny that lighting was so contrary to. It's like I was watching the episode just being like, we've come so far from season one. We've come so far. Like all these characters are developing. Like there's no just extraneous, like random. It's all like, and then. And even the style and the filming is better. And then it was just like weird ass lighting and just full like comic, like, whap.
Yeah.
Hello there. It was so funny.
Hey, kid.
Oh, man. Just sit. Who am I to judge? I've never been to Napa. That's what it's like in Napa.
Yeah, you don't
the
take a Napa.
Lighting is super weird. You don't take a Napa.
You take a nap. Sorry, you do take a Napa.
You take a Napa. You don't go to Napa. You take a Napa.
You don't hot tub in Napa.
No. You don't pop out of the water in Napa.
No.
John, let's cover some bases.
Let's break it down.
Let's do the rundown and get into it.
Let's break down the perfect present. I'm going to preface this with saying, after we talked about the title of this, great title of this episode.
Yeah.
Great storylines all in all. The through line of for this episode was, can you get to a future if your past is present? And every single character, except for maybe Samantha, deals with something in their past. Charlotte, or starting with Carrie's, hers is like a double prong thing. She's having phone sex with Big. while in a beginning of a relationship with Berger, and she's confronted with what she calls the X-File, and that is Berger's ex, Lauren, kind of is littered all over Berger's life, whether it's the decorating, the sound machine, the voicemail. Lauren, Berger's ex, is very present. Charlotte's thing that she's dealing with is Christmas. She's finished her course in becoming a Jew, and she is dealing with the loss of Christmas. Miranda is dealing with Steve being her past and condoms in the baby bag. And then Samantha's is a little bit of a throwaway. I guess she's like rehooking up with the waiter that she met. She meets him at a party, finds out his name is Jerry, and is very, very disappointed that he is an actor. I'm sure none of you all have ever dealt with being in a relationship where someone is disappointed that you're an actor. Have you, Kevin?
Yeah, have you, Kevin?
Have you, Kevin?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention to anything you said. What was that?
What was that? I totally missed it.
I was saying about how, I was saying about how disappointed Samantha is with Smith being an actor. And I was saying, certainly you've never dealt with a relationship in which someone was disappointed you're an actor.
I know it seemed like I wasn't paying attention, but I was just reliving the most horrific moments of my relationship with my ex. Now,
Q big erupting out of a hot tub.
Always.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Where do y'all want to start?
Let's start.
One thing never mind. We can start wherever, and then I'll bring that up later. I wanted to talk about Ron Livingston at some point. So go ahead.
I think Samantha's was the weakest story. Okay. There wasn't really was there anything really from her past other than that she had just hooked up with Jerry, I guess is how he's going by, what I guess is his name now. And the fact that he's an actor, I didn't really see anything with her past interfering with her present in that storyline.
No, yeah. I think we get into a place where it's like, it's more of like a Samantha meeting someone who is like,
but she has
going
before.
Away from her advances. Yeah. I mean, she kind of did that with Richard a little bit. Mm-hmm. That was kind of but when she offered him the money and then he was like, you're crazy lady.
Yeah, you are.
And then
crazy.
He walked away.
Yeah.
You're crazy lady. Yeah. That's him acting like Carlita's way. You're crazy lady. but yeah, I mean, I think it's more that she's just kind of someone who she thinks is the boy toy is like, hey, I know who I am. Mm-hmm. And I don't need your money, and or not at least in this way. And so I think it's more of like a meeting or match kind of thing a little bit.
Maybe they were saying like her, the past that they had with her hooking up with him at that purse party and getting him fired. Like she couldn't get past that because he was still there, and they were like, she was trying to compensate him for getting him fired. But he was like, no, I'm actually a person who wants to be in your life. I'm not just someone you need to throw money at.
I guess I guess on one hand, we don't need to force it in. Like maybe it's like, whatever, it's just a story or whatever. But I guess there is sort of, in the writer's room, they must have had this conversation. And I wonder if it's like she has met her match many times. But a lot of times when she meets her match in the past, it's either like good sex or money. And I guess there was a little bit of a twist that's like, this guy didn't need her. He didn't need her necessarily sexually. He was with her there, but also she wasn't impressed. Like the whole money thing, I guess Samantha is maybe used to being more overpowering with money with younger men.
Do you know what I would love to watch? I would love to go back and see. Do you remember the episode where Carrie hooked up with that French guy? They had like a great date and then he left and he left her like $1,000.
Yeah.
I would love to go back and see how the advice or the reaction that she gave to Carrie about that, because she essentially did the same thing, except hers was like even more forthright because she handed it to him.
Right.
And then Carrie
said, was like, I did some research on it.
Yeah. What would that have been? $300 for the night? Not bad.
What, yeah,
5 hours, that... $60 an hour.
It's good work.
That's pretty good work.
Yeah. My first roommate is an actor and a model, and like, I wouldn't say Smith Jared level attractive, but he's in that same camp. And yeah. There's this one time that I was like, he worked for a catering company, and I was like, dude, work is really, really tight right now. Is there any way you can get me work with your catering thing? And he's like, no, it's kind of the kind that's like, you kind of have to be like good looking. and it wasn't even an insult. It was just, I was like, oh, I get it. It was totally like you had to be Smith Jared level good looking. And he was putting that position where he had to be like, there's no other way. Kevin's my friend. There's no other way to say it. Listen, you don't cut it.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
That's like, I told you the worst job I ever had was I worked at Abercrombie for Christmas when I was in college, and I folded sweaters and pants. And then at one point, this is like,
this dude was a shirtless model on Fifth Avenue for Abercrombie. That was his first job.
The guy
I'm talking about was a shirtless model in front of Abercrombie on Fifth Avenue in New York for a year.
Okay. So this is right before they started the shirtless model thing. And they had this one guy that I knew who was out like handing out postcards. And he was like out in the mall handing out postcards. They were probably about to go to the shirtless model thing. And he was like, hey dude, I got to go to the bathroom. Can you like take over real quick? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I was like outside handing out postcards and stuff. And a manager from Abercrombie came in. They were like, Hey Corey, come here. I was like, yeah. And they're like, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, Mike had to go to the bathroom. And they were like, okay, come back this way. And they were like, hey, so, you're a folder. You're not a front end person.
Have you seen the Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Exactly. Yeah. They're just like,
that's you.
Hey, look, we know that you look like you were in an acid attack or something, but, just go back and fold. You look terrible.
Hey, Corzimoto, go back, ring the bells. Fold the shirts.
Go up to the bell tower. Come on. Come on, Corzimoto.
If you find a bunch of kids rummaging around an abandoned pirate ship, feel free to just chime in with a, hey, you guys, and, you know, rescue them. But other than that, Sloth, just get away from the front door.
Just you go fold a bunch of oversized cargo pants, okay? That's your deal.
That's you guys. I never had anything like that happen to me. Maybe I'm ridiculously good looking.
I think you might be.
No, there's I'm obviously not. But
you might be a Jerry.
I was Captain Morgan once, where I had to go dress up like Captain Morgan. I had to paint on the goatee because I couldn't grow one, and I'd just go to Cubs games and give like Bryce's and Chad's free shots at Cubs games, which was awesome.
Wait, really? You were a Captain Morgan?
Absolutely.
That's amazing. I was in a Captain Morgan commercial one time.
We need to talk about this stuff.
Bro, we gotta align. We gotta get Captain Morgan on the pod to be a sponsor. They got two Morgans in the room right now.
I know some Morganettes too.
Dude,
they're always hot at a bar, just like a really shitty college bar.
You're Morganette. Talking about my sister-in-law.
Hey John, your family makes good choices. Okay, come on.
All right, let's go to Steve and Miranda. I want to allow enough time for us to burger down.
Okay, cool.
But so let's talk about Steve and Miranda.
You okay. Is someone stand up for Miranda?
It's hard, dude. It's hard. Like other than the fact that she's operating from like a place of pain, and so she's like not making the best decisions. I think. If she could watch how she's acting, she'd be very embarrassed of how she's acting. She's actually
She should be.
Yeah, she's acting very irrational. And I mean, I think that like having the obvious metaphor of Brady falling off the couch, showing how delirious she is, was like in any other context, it'd be like, that's a little bit over the top. But it's like, no, this is necessary to show how far removed from reality Miranda's being right now.
The one thing I think they've done well from a, not the one thing, but one thing I think they've done well from a writing and acting perspective in this storyline is both times, like when Steve said something, when a couple episodes ago, when she had the baby poop on her face, and he brought up something about, I forgot what it was, but he brought up something about them being together. She like switched and was like, huh?
Yeah.
What? And then in this one, when he was late, and then he said, as soon as he said the thing about Debbie's car, she immediately turned on a dime.
Yeah.
And was like,
yeah,
the late thing became a thing because you're like, they did it. They hit it on the head in just the right way to be like, yeah, she, it's not about the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about
question.
Her
is it
pain
even,
and jealousy.
But is it even realistic? Not realistic. But is it even, it's definitely appropriate. Like if you're raising a child together in a non like family, you know, like what they're doing like is difficult and things are on the table to just be like, listen, you can't go on that trip because like, I need you to watch Brady. But like, is there a world where it's ever appropriate to be like, you're thinking of like, our child's going to die while you're having sex with this girl. Like,
No, she didn't say while you're having sex. She said, you know, while your penis is in her vagina and you are having an orgasm.
I love the specificity.
If you get, like if you like, if you're in it, if you're, here's a pro tip from the Bradshaw boys. If you're ever in an argument and you go medical, if you feel the need to go medical terminology, you've lost the argument.
You've lost the argument.
You need to stop.
That's what. How funny would it be if like, if that happened in the next episode, something like that happens and he's like, whoa, you went medical. I'm out.
I was going to say, we need to start that in a way where it's like, if you feel the need, if you're trying to drill down the argument so hard, it's like, dude, you're going medical. Come on. You're getting too in the weeds with this one. Yeah. You're going medical.
Time
it doesn't,
out. Yeah.
You think you're doubling down and it's making better sense. It's not, it's making worse sense.
I hope
you're
you guys
medical.
Are, I hope everybody is ready when the Bradshaw boys have our comedy special. And one of our, and we just have a tagline. We just say,
we've gone medical.
No, it's a Jeff Foxworthy thing. You know, you've lost the argument. If you go medical and you start referring to sex as penis inside a vagina and having an orgasm, you know, you lost that argument. You've gone medical.
Engaging the whole crowd. You know, you've lost the argument when you've gone
medical.
Where's daddy going to sit?
Shout out to Casey James Salenga.
Yeah.
The other day I was getting jealous of my girl because she with my old girl. Because she had another man's penis inside a vagina. He had an orgasm. And you know I was jealous. Why?
Because you went medical.
Shout out to Dr. Meg Daly, who is actually in the medical industry. She's
Meg Daly, she went super medical. She went so medical, she became a doctor.
Yeah. She and her husband both went medical.
She would be the first to tell if they're in an argument and you start referring to, to cocks as penises and, you know, and vaginas and orgasm. You've just gone medical. You've lost.
You've gone medical. Yeah, I think
I don't think there is a case for being Team Miranda. And it's sad because she's wounded right now and she's not truly acting herself. She's in an emotional state where her emotional intelligence is down to nil and she's not acting like her normal critical thinking self.
Mm, yeah. What do you do? Question real quick. I don't want to get too far off the track because we got to get down to Burger Town. What do you do when a friend or a loved one is in that place and you know you're just like,
dude,
they're not themselves?
You take your ship, you pull it right up next to them and you just buoy yourself to them and you just live in there with them for a little bit. I mean, she's hurting right now. And if she's acting in a way, if she's acting the way in which she's acting, I don't think it's I don't think you'll have much success trying to show her a mirror and seeing how she's acting. Mm-hmm. I think you just got to live in the trenches with her for a little bit and slowly try to help them out. That's
you. Mm. You know, when Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high.
Yeah.
Well, you have to pull up your boat and buoy next to that person and be next to him. And we've always said, just like Michelle Obama, when they go medical, you go nautical. And that's that's what you got to do.
Get your nautical flags out, get your lighthouse allegories, and you just, you know, you just fucking live there with them.
You turn the lighthouse on.
Yeah.
And they know where to dock. They know to dock next to your friendship.
You have to. Like, yeah, I just don't think that, like, there is definitely a time and place to help your friends understand that they're acting irrationally. I just don't think, like, she's even warned Carrie. Carrie's tried to start down that path, and she's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't need it right now. And Carrie is backed away. I think you need to give it a little bit more time. Yeah. You need to let the sizzle die off, and then you can swoop in there with some logic.
Yeah.
The positive part of it is it's gone so, they're just doing things with characters that we've waited so long. Like, they're raising the stakes because they know it's the last season, and we're just so used to Miranda being pretty solid. So it is nice. It's not nice to see. It's difficult, but it's like the payoff is there. Cause it's like, man, this is, you know, this hurts. Cause she is not like this. It's not like, oh, her doing this again. It's like, oh man, this is the love of her life, you know?
Yeah.
But I think, what do you do if you're in Miranda's shoes? I guess the answer is she should have just talked to him at the dinner the first time and just been like, hey, here's the deal.
And she should have said like, hey, yeah, that's true. She should have just been like, hey, this, I'm happy for you. I was going to tell you this. I don't mean to put you in a weird position.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
It's tough because then at that point, it's like you don't want to put him in an even weirder position, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is why we have drama and this is why TV exists. Because if she would have done what she should have done, then the reality in which is going to take place that we all know would have taken place earlier and we wouldn't have had condoms in the baby bag. But I mean, realistically, I think she should have told him how she feels
at the dinner, as
soon as possible. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with that because it would be different if there was a lot more time had elapsed or if they didn't have a child together. I do think there's definitely times where you don't just be like, fuck it, I'm going to say it. Like,
yeah.
One of the storylines of Love Actually, like, there are people that are like, it's so romantic. I'm like, it's fucking disgusting. It's the one where the guy holds up the signs. It's like his friend's girlfriend. I hate that storyline. And people that like it, I don't trust. So
you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. No, I got into a huge fight with a friend about that storyline. Cause I was like, he shouldn't have done it. That's his friend's girl. And he like defended a bunch and we went back and forth. And finally he just like was like, fuck you. And then he like went out and started crying and he's like not an emotional person. And then someone's like, I realized like he's in love with one of his friend's things. It was personal, but I do think there's are times where it's like, that's not appropriate. It wouldn't be appropriate if Corey was in love with Katie to be like, Katie, I have to tell you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've told Corey that. I was like, don't bring it up. No, but
I don't want to bring it up and I won't bring it up on mic, but as soon as we turn these mics off. That's true. I know places where that has happened with other people and it didn't turn out good. Like you're saying, it was just like, there's a time to shut that down, you know?
But in Miranda's case, there's a way to do it that it's like, we got a kid. You gotta give it a shot because it's not just, I think she'd be perfectly within her rights to do that, to give it a go.
Yeah.
But
when we watched Charlotte go into that pool to be reborn a Jew, did you guys think of Unorthodox? Have you guys seen that?
I did think of that.
Have you seen that show yet?
Well, you know what's funny is I did think of that.
Great show, by the way, if you haven't seen it yet. Check it out. It's on Netflix. Netflix miniseries.
Kevin and I were just talking about that today, and I did think about that. And it's funny because, you know, you see something and you're like, where did I see that? I completely, totally forgot that, like, that's when, they go there and Unorthodox a few times.
Yeah. It also made me really miss the Russian and Turkish bathhouse. Did you guys do the Russian and Turkish bathhouse?
So many times.
Why have we not done a Bradshaw Boys bathhouse?
Why have we not done an episode? We get waterproof mics and just do a full on.
Oh, man. You know what? Sidebar.
One of the Schwitzcast.
One of the guys at the bathhouse, it's this Jewish man. He refers to himself as Messiah Says. He makes his own olive oil spread. He's like famous on Reddit. He like has all these Reddit posts and people.
Really?
People love him. Anyway, Messiah Says.
Man. Good dude. Love the Russian Turkish bathhouse.
As far as the way the economy is going to reopen, the Russian Turkish bathhouse is on number 114 on the list of industries that can reopen.
Yeah.
I think it's phase 6,000 of the reopening.
Phase 9,000. Totally.
But first of all, loved it. Thought it was great. Love a good naked baptism.
Now Harry seems to be cool with Christmas. Do you think she's like pretty animate against it now? Do you think like Harry should push a little bit more and be like, Charlotte, I know the rabbi said this, the Minch said this, but we can still have Christmas. Like, or do you think he needs to allow her to fully latch onto this and then explore that later? Like, I was surprised that he was game for that, and then she was like, no, I need to give this up.
I think Charlotte's a rule follower, and so she needed to be like, I'm doing this all the way. And then I think Harry is, Harry's just like, yeah, it's fine. Like, I think later on he'll just be like, babe, you can get a Christmas tree. But I think he like needs to let her kind of have her be as full in as she can be right now. And then he's just got to like, she has to let him let her relax. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was throwing out some.
She's just letting the cream cheese settle in. It's like a balm. And he's just
the back hair's going to grow back. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, totally. I do think that I think it's nice because it's like most people are familiar with like if you have a Catholic wedding, the priest is just like, are you going to do this? And some people are like, I don't know, like sometimes they just have you sign a sheet to be like, just say it because the church says we have to have you do it or whatever. I think people are pretty familiar with that. And I think a lot of people are familiar with like Jewish and Christian people being like, yeah, they do both. And so I do think it's interesting that she's, I don't know. And it also shows like her love for Harry that she's like, no, she's like, I'm prepared to do this for you. I'm not going to go back and be like, let me have my Christmas tree, please. Like she's all in, you know, which is admirable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was tossing out some serious Hermione Granger vibes there. Sitting in the front of the class, answering the questions first.
Total Granger vibes.
Yeah. And there was a little Hogwartian there too. It was like just kind of that the old synagogue. It like felt like a lot of old dark wood.
Do you guys
the original Defense of the Dark Arts teacher right there?
tell me that there's not a spinoff of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. That's just Charlotte and the Episcopalian princess. Look at that. She looks like a fucking Marvel superhero.
That is, yeah, she does.
She totally does. Yeah.
That's so
That's
funny.
Great.
Dude.
Yeah. I really liked her storyline. I like that it was like serious and sweet and like, I like how she's taking it very seriously and just Harry's just the best, man. Just coming in, being so supportive. Just, I don't know. He is truly living up to the hype, the Harry hype.
He's living up to the hype, and he's even like, it was really sweet that he was like, he's like, we're going to keep this one. Not just like, okay, let's throw it away. He like even looked for a way. I know when you like throw away older parts of your life or move on to a new chapter, you know, there's like ways that you can be like, all right, I can't keep all 50 of these books, but I'm going to keep this one that represents this one part of my life or something like that. And I thought that was cool that he wanted to be like, all right, if we never do that again, let's just keep this for you. Cause I know this is important to you. I thought that was really sweet.
I think it's really showing that he cares about her. And he's like, and I think even him caring about her and her conversion, like just being like, let her do it the way she wants to do it. I think he's really caring about her the whole way.
Yeah, totally.
All right, let's go to Burger Town.
Yeah. What did you want to say about Ron Livingston, Kevin?
Okay. We've talked about Office Space a few times.
We have to do it as a movie club, by the way.
We have to do it as a movie club, but I just realized something that I'm so used to. Like, there's lots of movies that I think culturally were super important to me and to a bunch of my friends that I know.
Yeah.
But that you realize, like, you can go back and look at, like, the box office of some movie that was, like, the most formative movie. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no one saw that movie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I just forget that, like, seeing the first time I saw Office Space was, like, a moment. There was this movie that was a big failure. It was a box office bust. Nobody talked about it. And then the people that knew about Office Space were like, there's this comedy that is so fucking good. And it was before The Office. It was one of the earlier things to, like, completely roast office culture. And Ron Livingston was the lead in that. And he was a huge part of it. And so, and I realize now that if there was 100 people and you showed up a picture, they're not going to say Office Space. They're going to say Burger from Sex and the City. So I think there's a thing with my relationship to Burger that it's like, even when it ends poorly, there's a thing that it's like, yeah, that's fucking, that's like,
it's Peterman. Hey, Peterman, turn on channel 9.
Hey, breast exams on. Totally.
Yes. And he was, and
I thought the same thing.
And he's a similar character in Office Space, but he's just like, he's really nice to Jennifer Aniston. He's a good dude. He's like coming into his own, like, and realizing what he wants his life to be about. And he's just a completely sympathetic character from beginning till the end of the movie. And I feel like that has shaped my vision of Burger way more because that is who he is to me.
It's made me 100% agree.
I do too. It's made me, when people have talked about how they hate Burger, it's made me think like, oh, I hope that hasn't turned people off to Ron Livingston as a person, as an actor. And I think it has.
I think it has. And Jen Kirkman was saying that, like, someone went up to him in the park one time and it was just like, would be like, or when he was around his kids, was it her or some, maybe someone else did. Someone told us,
I think, no. Yeah. Kirkman was saying that. She was like, yeah, somebody went up to him and said something to him about how, like, I hated you on Sex and the City. And like, it's funny. You're absolutely right. That like, it's the trajectory of like showing this character, like, coming to his own versus like showing them what we've heard, not being able to get over certain things.
And you know? I just, that frustrates me so much. Like, can't people realize that if you hate a character enough to go up to them in the park, that means that that actor just did a really, really good job.
100%.
Like, if you see the actor that played Joffrey on Game of Thrones and you're like, I want to kill that person if I ever meet him, that's because they did an excellent job portraying that character for you to hate. It's like, I don't understand how people can't separate the two of them, but then again, I guess I can, unfortunately.
People are strange, man.
People be cray.
I will say the one major red flag, I mean, we all know the red flag in this. What's the red flag?
In this one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's that he's still deep in with his ex. He's deep
in
with Laura.
Specific, but you can still be deep in with your ex. What's like the specific red flag?
Mine is like the finger to the answering machine.
Double finger. Double finger to the answering machine. That's what I mean, finger, deep in with the ex.
Because it's like the ex thing is there and that's always a part of a relationship. But the finger thing was like, uh-oh, we got an open wound on our hands, people.
Yeah, but Carrie's so ridiculous because she's like, she makes such a big deal about the ex. And granted, she was right because he did do the double finger thing. I think that vindicated her a little bit. Mm-hmm. But imagine how skeezed out she would be if she was in a relationship with Burger and he didn't have an ex. Like, that would be way worse for her and her chat and choose. She'd be like, what is his deal? How come he doesn't have an ex? But I don't know. It's like
if he was acting the way he was with no ex.
Yeah. And she was like, she's like, there is no ex file. That would be like an entire episode that would really freak her out for some reason.
Yeah. You'd be like, what's in this burger? What's, I don't get the taste that I'm getting.
Is it
I don't
an
know
impossible
burger? Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe it is impossible to get to the meat of the relationship.
If they've never met someone, how can it be beyond meat?
Sex and City 2020, dude. We need to write it. Let's go.
We got to rewrite it. The Return of Burger.
I think I know it's difficult whenever you're dating, transitioning into exclusive, and that is a specific conversation.
We just say Scloosies.
Scloosies.
We just say Scloosies.
But it is weird to be that skeeve. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I think I'm actually disagreeing with myself. But it is funny because she was responsible at the end to cut it off. But it is funny to be like so upset about the fuck you and be like, you were just having phone sex with your ex 2 seconds ago.
Yeah. I know. There is a weird thing where Big comes back in and then you can tell that she's conflicted enough to like wise up.
Yeah.
And not just be like, she could even be polite and be like, hey, it's good to hear from you again. I hope you're good. I gotta go.
But that's so
like not that even shut him down in a bad way.
That's so Carrie to get pissed off that his ex picked out the color of the paint on his walls and then to go freaking have phone sex with Big the very same night.
That's so her. I will just slightly defend her to say if there isn't that bright line that's already been drawn. Like once Berger was honest with her, she was like, hey, Big, we can't do this. And so they did kind of show the evolution into the Scloosies, which was good for Carrie. It'd be another thing if at the end she had phone sex with him again, then it'd be like, fuck off.
What are you doing? But no, you're right. And she did like, they showed it well later when he had the moment with her where he opened up about the ex. And like that was a more normal thing. The double finger to the answering machine is a red flag. But when he is just kind of like, listen, this was super rough and it broke my heart. Like that was vulnerability right there, you know?
Totally.
You broke my heart.
I want to keep talking about Berger, but I think we unfortunately did too many goofs at the front end of this episode, but don't regret a damn second.
Don't regret a goof, but it's like we snacked too much before we had our burger.
I know.
So we can't finish our dinner now.
Let's quickly rate the episode while we're doing this. Kevin, can you see if anyone suggested any sign-offs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just dropped my phone.
All right, John, do you want to pick our things? And then while we're doing our things, Kevin will look that up. I guess Kevin could be looking it up right now.
Yeah. Let's do a rating. Three. Okay. Kevin, you ready for the rating?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1,
4.25.
Kevin, what'd you do?
3.25.
Holy shit. All right. We'll let you go last. I'll go last. Corey, you did four. You did the highest.
Okay. So I really liked this one. I thought there were definitely some problems with it, but it felt solid. It felt like it was when I mean problems with it, it's like, yeah, the Samantha one was a little weak, but even with the weaker Samantha line, like, you know, we're getting some good stuff. You know, we're getting some conflict with her. Even like a Chip Kilkenny is a fun storyline, but like, he's never coming back. You know, you're getting a little pushback on Samantha with old Jerry there. And so also we didn't even talk about this, but like, super fun Jennifer Coolidge storyline.
I was just going to bring up Jennifer with Coolidge.
The
bag,
with the purse lady.
Yeah, I mean, you want to bring that rating up now, Kevin, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, the Jennifer Cool that was a freaking
I was
going to
bring up Jennifer
storyline.
Coolidge just, in my defense.
That was an incredible, just like, I remember we were watching it. We were like, "Oh my gosh, Jennifer Coolidge." So like, that was super fun. So much more. I'm sure we'll go into it later. So much good stuff to talk about Berger, about like her being like first time you see someone's apartment, a lot of firsts. So
yeah,
a lot of good emotional relationship stuff. Solid Miranda and Steve stuff. It was just solid deal with everybody around. So 4.25.
Yeah. I love this episode. I probably could have gone higher. I gave it a 4.0. I just loved all the interactions with the ladies and seeing like not only a chat and chew, but at Jennifer Coolidge's apartment. It was just so fun. Seeing him in his tidy whities. Holy cow. Homeboy's got a body.
He's got a real body.
I loved everything with Charlotte. Miranda, seeing Miranda like not act herself. It's like, remember how excited we were when Samantha was like being vulnerable and getting hurt by Richard? Like seeing Miranda emotional and acting outside of her normal logical self is really fun. Mm-hmm. Berger, as someone who sleeps, shares a bed with a partner who insists on having a sound machine, I can totally relate to Carrie. So I just love this episode all the way over. I would watch it again right now. 4.0.
You know, I'm I'm really tired. And if this was not doing the podcast with you guys, I would have canceled. But I'm really tired, and I think it affected my enjoyment of the watching of the episode.
You can change. I mean, there's no rules.
I don't think I'm going to change. I'm just going to wait until we watch this one again to change it.
Ooh, I love that.
I like it. I liked it. I don't feel like I was as fully engaged, and that is a bummer. But
yeah,
that's probably where the low rating came from. But
you
I will
say, you can't be fully engaged with every episode. It happens.
It's fine.
Highlights and lowlights would be the Charlotte storyline, and the scene with the Christmas tree. Lowlight was the fact that there's absolutely no chance unless he's a journalist. Like, what would Berger have actually won a Pulitzer for? That's a pretty big award. What kind of writer is he?
Yeah.
For fiction?
I don't know. You didn't win.
There's no chance based on who that character is that he won the Pulitzer for fiction. What kind of writer is he?
I don't know. He's a writer.
Same thing as Kendrick won it for. He probably won it for poetry.
What kind of sign-offs do we have? Let's hear what people suggest, and we'll use one and we'll do this.
All right.
While you're looking, if you haven't already, please give us a rating on iTunes. Give us 5 Cosmos. We just love that. We just love when that happens. It makes us feel good. Here's what happens when you leave us a rating and write us a review. We text it to each other and we talk mm-hmm. about you, and it just like makes our life better. And
yep.
There's not a lot of things right now that make our lives really great. And leaving us a kind couple words about how we ruined your life because, you know, Kevin's so funny, that really means a lot to us. So go do that if you haven't already.
Yes. And thank you for the reviews for Raul like Paul, T Drac, CB Danger, and Tani. All of those. We got a few lately. And JD Matt, SD Lover, thank you. All those people.
Thank you for your reviews.
So someone said, Carrie Scott said with a post-it note, we should sign off with a post-it note. Which
we haven't gotten to yet.
It's a little more visual, but what does the post note say?
It says, I just can't, I think.
Yeah.
It says I just can't, don't hate me, something like that.
I think
people are probably dying that we don't know what it is yet. We haven't gotten to it yet.
People.
Right.
That would bring like a negative vibe into the end of the pod, right? We couldn't do that. Someone said, I'm panicking. I can't think of anything fast enough, but I know I will. I think that's her saying that. I don't think that's how we should sign off. Hey, everybody.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
Great episode. I'm panicking. I can't think of anything fast enough, but
run,
I know I will.
Run, ride, laugh. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm panicking. that actually has been ours the entire time. I'm panicking.
Yeah. I can't think of it. And then it's usually Kevin just going, bye.
I think, listen, maybe we'll get more for the next time because we put that up just an hour ago. But I say we go with John's. And John, it's coming at you right now in 3. This
Kevin,
has been a great episode.
You be the inaugural one. Use it.
No, it's yours. 3, 2, 1. Hit it, John.
Abso-fucking-later.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, John Sieber, and Kevin James Doyle. The show is produced by Jeremy L. Balin. For more information on the guys, check out their website at bradshawboys.com, on social media at The Bradshaw Boys, and if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.